Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
When you serve God, you will suffer. Those who follow the course that God has for their life, they are going to go through persecution. They will suffer, but in the end, they will bring about God's blessings in a situation. They will be used by God in order to accomplish His purposes. And whatever suffering we go through for our faithfulness, as Paul says, it is small in comparison, not worthy to be compared with the future glory that we'll have in the kingdom of God. Well, take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 37. The book of Genesis and chapter 37. Now, as I said last week, there's a transition. We ended one section, one account, and now we're beginning a new one, the life of Joseph. And Joseph, well, even though Joseph is not Yehuda, meaning there are two different tribes. And we know that Messiah comes through the lineage of Yehuda, Judah. But nevertheless, Joseph is a avtipus, that is a typology for Messiah, which simply means that as we study the life of Joseph, we can learn a great deal about Messiah. Joseph, he is an instrument. His life is an instrument of revelation in preparing us to recognize Messiah and to also imitate what Messiah did. So look, if you would, to verse 1. Now, in looking at verse 1, we're going to find out that this passage of scripture is very debated. Let me give an example of this. When this study is being filmed, well, it's the weekly Torah portion, Vayeshev. And guess what? That Torah portion is exactly what we're beginning today. And the point I want to share with you is this. Last night at our study center here in Israel, Michael, an excellent teacher, he was sharing from this same parasha, dealing with this same section. And people, those who came, they had a very strong response to this passage of scripture. There was debate, there was disagreement, people had their own opinions of what this text was saying. And that's well and fine, because it provided an opportunity for training. Because here's the danger. We, if we're not careful, we bring to the text our own life experience, our baggage. And oftentimes, we will identify with something, and because it was a negative experience, something we read conjures up that experience in our own mind, and if it's negative, we'll view the text in a negative way. We'll come down on someone that we ought not. And there was just great debate about, well, was Yaakov right in how he dealt with Joseph? Was he right in exalting him above his brothers? And was Joseph right in saying, I have a dream, and sharing that? Or was it better for him to just keep it to himself? So all of these things are excellent questions. But here's the problem. People will just listen, and they will come to a conclusion, and they'll hold fast to that as what's right. The problem is, we need to be wise enough to understand the methodology, the rules, the laws for interpreting Scripture, and paying attention to the clues in the text. Because if we don't, we will always, always, always arrive at the wrong conclusion. And last night, my opinion, there was a lot of wrong conclusions. And when I hear other people teach this, Well, I believe that it's so frequently incorrectly understood. So let's look at this text, Be'iyun. That means very carefully. And let's see what the clues of the text lead us to conclude. And then you'll have to make the decision whether you agree or not. Let's begin. Genesis 37, verse 1. We read here, "And Yaakov," that is Jacob, "he dwelt in the land of the sojourning of his father." So we see something. We see a continuing on of the heritage. Yitzchak, he followed the leadership of his father, Abraham. And now Yaakov, he's dwelling in the places that his father, Yitzchak, dwelled in. So there's a continuation of the purposes of God, all because they are in that land. And notice something else. It is the land of Canaan. Now, the land of Canaan is the Eretz Muftachat, that is the promised land. So here's what I want to share with you. When we look at this first part of this chapter, we learn something. We should see that this passage has to do with the promises of God, because Yaakov's dwelling in the land of Canaan. This is where the promises of God, his covenantal promises, which are attached to the land, can be received. So God, what we should anticipate is God's going to move in this passage, begin it, in bringing about the fulfillment of his will, what he wants to accomplish. So once more, "And Yaakov dwelt in the land of the sojournings of his father, in the land of Canaan." Also, the word father also hints to promise. So the promises of God are going to continue, and we'll see where they're going to continue and with who. Look now at verse 2. "These are the lineage," and it's in the plural. So it has to do with the heritage, although it's not the word moreshet. It's a word todot. Todot is like a genealogy, the heritage of one's family. And it's in the plural. So we would think that we would see a genealogy which would include many individuals. If we see Todot Yeshua, we see that Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, and so forth. But here, it stands out. It is what we would think would be incorrect, but there's no mistakes in the scripture. Whenever anything is odd or peculiar, seems to violate something, that is where the wisdom is. So we read, Todot Yaakov Yosef. So we're dealing with the genealogy of Yaakov. But all we're told is one individual. And this is to tell us that scripturally, Yosef takes the forefront. This account of this family, the sons of Abraham, now they are firmly placed. This heritage, this promise, everything is placed upon the shoulders of Yosef. He is going to be the one that carries on the heritage, that is, moves the people in the promises of God. So the genealogies of Yaakov, Yosef, it says, 17 years old. Another important clue. Number 10, completion. It's entirety, wholeness. And then the number 7, the purpose of God, holiness. As I've said many times, a relationship between holiness and the purposes of God. Something is sanctified for a purpose. That word sanctified comes from the Hebrew word holy. Same word, just in a different grammatical construction. So now we see that Yosef, if we haven't discerned that earlier, he is where the purposes of God are going to be realized. His life is going to move forward the purposes of God in and among the children of Israel. And he was a shepherd with his brothers of the flock. And he was a youth with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, the wives of his father. Now, something doesn't stand out here. Because what about Rachel and Leah? But we're talking about Bilhah and Zilpah. And they were the maid servants. They came entirely from a different background, maid servants. And why these two women take the forefront instead of Leah and Rachel is because this is revealing to us that Joseph, well, he is going to serve. He is going to take a lowly position, a position of like a maidservant. So what we find here is that the scripture is trying to give us clues on what we can expect for the life of Joseph. And we keep reading, and it says, and Joseph, he would do something. He was a shepherd with these other individuals, his brothers, and Joseph would bring their evil report, or it's simply here, a report that is what? Ra'ah, or in this case, it means outside of the will. So these young men, his brothers, they were not living in a proper way. And Joseph would bring this report to his father, or literally it says their father. Now, you would say that this probably, you know, he's a snitch, a tattletale. Well, this is what we should see. He is concerned about justice. He is concerned when something is not according to the will of God. And he tells the father, what's this case? Judge. In the father, in this family, the father is supposed to set things in order. He's the type of shofet, the judge. So Joseph is bringing this report in order that things can be right. So the first thing we see here, most people leave this out. They see as Joseph is this tattletale. No, he is concerned with righteousness, with the purposes of God, things being done correct. And this foreshadows as well, Joseph being selected. Joseph being used because he does have this sensitivity to the things of God where his brothers did not. We also read verse 3. And Yisrael, now it changed. If you go to verse 1, Yaakov. Now we're talking about the same one, but the name Yisrael. And this gives another important grammatical clue. Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael. This represents a transition. And therefore, because of Joseph's sensitivity for that which is right and his concern for that which is wrong, that he would not maintain that, he wants proper judgment, well, we're going to see a transition. And that transition is going to be that he's going to become the leader of this family. So Israel, he loved Joseph more than his sons. Now, at our study center, many people were greatly bothered by that. Now, this is not to say, well, now, other than those 11 sons, Joseph, more than those 11, he is his father's favorite. He loves him more than the rest. Now, that's how we interpret it, but we need to realize something. Love is synonymous with giving. So what we find here is this. We're just told that Joseph has a sensitivity for righteousness. He speaks out against that which is evil. He wants to set it in order. And this brings about that his father, what's love? Well, a good place to look, John chapter 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And this is what love is, giving. It is not speaking about feelings here. It is not speaking about favoritism. It is simply saying that Yaakov, he invested in the life of Joseph more than his other sons. And why was that? Key, here's the point. Key is the word because. It explains the reason behind it. Because he was the son of his old age. So he was this younger brother. Yaakov was older. And his brothers were running things. They were taking care of the field. Yaakov would just want reports, updates, make decisions. But he was not out there working in the field. The sons were taking care of this. And because Yosef was young, he was the 11th child. What do we know? Because Yaakov was older, he was at home, there was an opportunity. An opportunity for Yaakov to teach, to share, to influence Yosef more than all the rest. So all the scripture saying is, because of the timing that Yosef was the son of his old age, he was, that is, Yaakov was able to invest more in his son's, Joseph's life than all the rest. We also know that Benjamin, the youngest one after Joseph, we also know that Benjamin held a very close place in his father's heart. Why? Same reason. They were younger children. He was older and he was at home. Well, keep reading in verse 3. And he made for him a tunic of stripes. Now, if you, and this is where we have to sometimes use helps. Because if you're not an avid reader of the scripture, you may not realize that this phrase that appears here, I want to say it correctly, where we read ketonet pasim, we may not realize that that is also a garment that's mentioned in the book of Samuel in regard to Tamar. Because the king's children, they had on that type of garment. So what happens is this. This giving of this special coat, it foreshadows that Yosef is going to what? He is going to be the ruler. He is going to be the one from all that next generation, that is Bnei Yaakov, the sons of Jacob. He's going to become the one that rules over the family. And Yaakov, he's recognizing that. Joseph, he has that sensitivity for that which is right and that which is wrong. He's grieved. He takes action. He wants to see things set in order. And because of that, this is a foreshadowing saying, it's Yosef that's going to be the ruler. And what do? We say, well, it's not fair for the father to treat children differently. Well, that's true. We should, you know, be equal with our children. But this is scriptural revelation to us. There's insight. When something's violated, when something doesn't seem right, that's where the wisdom is. That's a clue to pay attention to that. So this act foreshadows Yosef becoming the ruler of this family, being the one that carries on the heritage of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Look now to verse 4. And his brothers, they saw that him, their father, loved more than all his brethren. And therefore, they hated him. Now, is that the proper response? Here again, don't think of love in our natural way that we think of it. I love this person, so he's my favorite, she's my favorite. Something along those lines. No. It's a word of giving, a word of sacrifice. And when they saw this, they should have said, our father, he is a son of God. He is a child of the covenant. He is one that is going to take on and carry out the heritage. That's his call of Avraham and Yitzchak. So if he does something, there's a reason for it. No, they looked at it not with its spiritual implications. No, they looked at it, how? In the natural. Don't look at the scripture in the natural. You have to allow the tools of good biblical interpretation to work for you and to reveal what God would have us to know. So, middle of verse 4, and they hated him, and they were not even able to speak a word of peace. So what it's saying is this fact that God, and this is what we're going to see in a moment, But now it's Yaakov chose this brother as the one who is unique among the brothers. They hated that. They disagreed with that. Now, this has a lot of prophetic significance. God chose Yeshua. And unfortunately, the vast majority of the children of Israel, they did not agree with that choice, and they hate Yeshua. They speak of him in the way using the term Yeshu, which means may his name and memory be blotted out. So very harsh things, feeling of hatred in regard to him. All of this is being revealed in this passage. Look now to verse 5. Now we're going to see God's response to all of this. Are you interested in that? What does God have to say about this? Verse 5. And Yosef, he dreamed a dream. What is that? Normally in the Bible, a dream is synonymous with revelation. So now God is going to give revelation to help us understand the proper way for us to respond to this, to interact with this, to interpret it. So look again, verse 5. And Yosef, he dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers. God gave him revelation. He shared that revelation. And what happened? We find here they added more of hatred towards him. So the fact that God was speaking to him and not to them, well, this is similar to who? Yaakov. Yaakov was investing in Yosef more than all of his brothers. Now, there's a reason, because Yosef was home. He was younger, and his brothers were out working. But nevertheless, we see a confirmation. They did not like the fact that God now was giving revelation to their brother Yosef. They hated him all the more. Verse 6. And he said to them, listen, please, to this dream which I have dreamed. Hear this revelation from God. In other words, behold, we were binding sheaves in the midst of the field, and behold, my sheaf got up, stood upright, and also was raised up. And behold, your sheaves, they went around, and they bowed down to my sheaves. Now, what does this tell us? It tells us exactly what we've learned previously. When Yosef got that ketonet pasim, that tunic of stripes or collars, Yaakov was saying, you are going to be the ruler. You have a royal connection. You're going to be the one who takes the leadership of the family. And now God gives a dream. This dream says the same thing, that all the brothers go together around him and bow down, meaning this. They need to acknowledge, this is what God's saying, you need to acknowledge him as my selection, the one who's going to carry on the heritage. It's not going to be Reuben. It's not going to be any of the other sons. It's going to be Joseph. Well, we find here in this passage of scripture, look at next verse, verse 8. And they said to him, his brother said to him, they get it, they understand it. Will you rule over us? Yes, that's the message of the dream. He's going to. That's the message of this coat of stripes. He's going to rule over them. And they are absolutely against that. This foreshadows the fact that Messiah, Yeshua, is going to rule over the kingdom of his father. And the other sons of Yaakov, they don't like it. They don't want it. They are against it. And they are not only angry, but they have hatred for their brother, as so often there's hatred for Yeshua. Keep reading, same verse, verse 8. His brother said to him, will you rule over us? Will you, and it uses the word mashol timshol banu. Now, that word has to do with one who has a position of dominance. Now, they say, will you dominate us? Will we be subjected to you? And the implication is they're not. They're not willing for that. We're not going to allow that to happen, is what they're saying. But the fact of the matter is they're going to be, in the same way that the Jewish people and the Gentile people are going to be subjected to Yeshua as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I was teaching earlier today in Hebrew to another group, and we were studying in the book of Revelation, and we saw there that when Messiah returns, that he's called the King of the Gentiles, and that every knee is going to bow and confess that they're going to acknowledge him. Now, what I said was this: if you do it in this body, in this life, there's a great benefit. If you reject it till the time that he returns and judges, and they're in that lake of fire, well, they'll do it, but there's no merit, there's no benefit for that. But they're going to acknowledge him. And in that same way, the brothers are going to acknowledge him. So look again, they say in verse 8, will you rule over us? Will you dominate us? And they added more hatred unto him on account of his dreams and account of his words. Here again, where did he get these words? From God, the same place he got those dreams. Verse 9. That's only going to be more strongly revealed to them. God is trying to give them revelation and realize this is from God. Verse 9. And he dreamed again a dream, a different one. And he told it to his brothers. And he said, behold, I have dreamed a dream, another one. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, they bow down to me. And he told it to his father and to his brothers. So now we have not just the brothers, but Yosef is going to be the leader of that family. God is raising him up. And both the mother and father are going to recognize that as well. He takes a supreme position in the same way that we read in the book of Daniel, that the father, the Ancient of Days, he is going to give all honor, all glory, all rule over the kingdom to his son, Yeshua. He's kind of stepping aside, and this one, Yeshua, is going to be the one who sits upon the throne, the priority, because it's his kingdom. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the glory of his Heavenly Father. And this is exactly what's being shared here. And notice something, verse 10. And his father rebuked him. Now, this word here has to do with that which is not pleasing. So he rebukes him and said to him, what is this dream which you have dreamed? Shall we, I and your mother and your brothers, bow down to you towards the ground? And the answer is yes. That is exactly what's going to happen. And what was the outcome? Look at verse 11. And his brothers, they were jealous of him. Now, they had envy in regard to him. Now, if someone says, you know what, I'm going to be, whatever it is, the greatest entertainer, the greatest athlete, I'm going to be the supreme politician in my generation, whatever it might be. And someone says that, normally what do we say? I don't believe it. I don't think this one's going to be that. And what happens? Well, if he believes that, if he wants to work for that, that's fine, that's good, let him do it. But the only reason that they had envy is because, and this is something very important, they knew it was true. They knew that this was God's revelation. Now, last week, I was in Yerushalayim, and I had a time or the opportunity to speak at a congregation there. And the leader of that congregation, he was sharing, and it was a messianic congregation. And he was sharing with me that he had an opportunity to go to another country. And there he talked to the leading rabbi of that country. And what I'm saying, it's told to me, I'm being very accurate. He said that this rabbi was the leading, the most respectful rabbi of this nation. And they began to talk. And this leader was introduced to him as a messianic Jew, someone who believes in Yeshua. And in the course of this conversation, the two of them were by themselves. And this leading rabbi said, "I believe in him too." Now, he hasn't made that public. He said, many, many of us know that. But they're not acting on that. And this is what we see here. They knew, or why would they be jealous? If I said, "I'm going to be this," and you didn't believe me, you would care less. But if you knew it was true, and you didn't want it to be true, or you wanted that, you would be jealous or envious. This scripture is so important. So it's not that they're acting out of ignorance. They are acting out of rebelliousness. Do not go, as one person told me, and Joseph, they said, "I don't like Joseph." Well, God did. God used him in a mighty way. Joseph was a blessing. He suffered for his family, for Israel, for a continuation. He moved things forward. How dare someone say, "I don't like Yosef"? But they were kind of mocking him, saying, he came in and I've got a dream, you didn't get a dream, and kind of a mocking individual to his brothers. That's not what this scripture is saying. He got revelation from God. That's what a dream is. And what do you do with that? You're supposed to share it. They rebelled against it. Do not allow your own baggage to cause you to miss out on God's message of the scripture. They had envy, but notice something, and his father kept these things. You know what that sounds like? If you recall in the New Covenant, Miriam or Mary, the mother of Yeshua. And what do we know? Well, many things happen, and a couple times in the scripture, it says Mary kept these things in her heart. She knew that there was something significant. That's what this expression means. His father, even though he rebuked him, he knew that there was something significant about what was going on here. Look at verse 12. And his brothers, they went to shepherd the flock of their fathers in Shechem, in Shechem. And Israel, back to Israel, transition. Israel said to Yosef, "Surely your brothers are shepherding in Shechem. Go, I will send you unto them." And he said, meaning Joseph said to him, his father, "Hineni." Now, that expression, "Hineni," this is a phrase that was used by Abraham as he became the patriarch of his generation. It was said by Yitzchak as well, as he became the patriarch of his generation. It was said by Yaakov as he became, and now Yosef saying it. So what this scripture does is, and here again, one of the reasons why I encourage people to use such things as the Discovery Bible, as Bible study company, is because they have tools for you. And by using that, you can say, "Well, what is this?" And he says, "Hineni." Well, this is something that repeats. Now, more you study the scripture, the more you'll become familiar with phrases that repeat itself. And when they repeat themselves, well, that is to show significance. So you need tools to help that, to see what's emphasized. These three words, Vayomer lo hineni, are very, very important. It puts kind of a stamp of approval on Yosef, verse 14. And he said to him, "Go, please, and see the well-being." It's a word, shalom. See if, and what's shalom? Will of God. In this case, the will of their father. He says, "I want you to go see if they're fulfilling my will." That is, your brothers. And also the well-being of the flock. Are they how I want them to be? And return to me the word. Now, when we go back to the scripture earlier on, when we looked here at verse 2 at the end, where it says, "And Joseph brought an evil report to his father." Well, now we see something. His father had a tendency to send Joseph because of Joseph's sensitivity to that which is right and that which is wrong. Yaakov wanted to know this. So he just wasn't doing it on his own. He was responding, he was obeying his father. And that's an important methodology, clue in interpreting the scripture. Well, look now at the end of verse 14. "And he sent him from the valley of Hebron." Here again, Hebron, city of patriarchs. So it's just to make mention that Joseph came out of Hebron, and this is Hebron. This is very important. It puts another scriptural clue on Joseph as this heritage of the patriarchs. "And he came towards Shechem," or Shechem, verse 15. "And a man found him. Behold, he was erring in the field." So Joseph was not going in the right direction. And notice this, a man, and some of the rabbinical commentators point out that the word ish, oftentimes, when it's used in a context like this, it's like an angel. So now we have, if we want to accept the rabbinical view, that God is supplying an angel in order to assist Joseph in fulfilling his father's will. So once again, "a man found him. Behold, he was erring in the field. And the man asked him and said, 'What do you seek?'" So now we have just not a man, but the man, where here again, that definite article, the word "the," is another hint that not just any man, but it could be an angelic manifestation. So the man asked him, saying, "What do you seek?" Verse 16. "And he said, 'My brothers, I am seeking. Tell me now, please, where they are shepherding.'" Now, why would Joseph think that this man would know? Well, here again, more information that this man is a source of revelation, that is, angelic revelation. Verse 17. "And the man said to him, 'Travel from this place, because I have heard them saying, we will go towards Dothan," or Dothan. So now what we see is the scripture laying a foundation for Joseph to meet his brothers, but this time out of any supervision from the father. And we're going to see a very significant act take place, an act that will propel Joseph into being not just the ruler of this family, but the ruler of the world. So this scripture is going to turn highly significant, and that confirms everything that we've read so far. Well, I'll close with that until next week, and we continue on in our study of Genesis 37. Until then, shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.